Take our Bibles tonight and let's go to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, we're going to be verses 1 through 10. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flukes, to whom Paul entered in and prayed, laid his hands on him, and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we do thank you for the time we can have together tonight. Thank you, Father, for the joy that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the peace that we have, Lord, through your presence. Father, I ask that you would bless our time together tonight. Father, as always, guide us according to your will. Teach us the things that we need to learn. Remind us of the things we need to remember. Lord, helping us to always put our faith and trust, Lord, in your guidance and direction for our life. And even, Lord, as we enter into a new week, that you would, Lord, just guide us according to your will. Each day, Lord, helping us to spend quality time with you. And, Lord, just trusting you along the way. Father, we ask that you would please, Lord, draw us unto you tonight through your word. And, Father, may each and every one of us be blessed because of what you're doing in our life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The songwriter wrote in the song that we just sang, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." The last stanza says, "'I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior and friend.'" And as we continue on in our walk with the Lord, day in and day out, month after month, year after year, we do learn to trust the Lord more and more. And as we're looking at the life of Paul tonight, and just in one instance, he's obviously on his way to Rome as a political prisoner, and yet the Lord has a, call it a pit stop, but the Lord kind of allowed them to veer off their course because God allowed a storm to arise to kind of help Paul get to where God wanted him to be before he continued on to Rome, because there was some people there that needed to be helped. There was some work to be done that God wanted Paul to do, and whether or not Paul would have ever gotten to this island any other way at any other time, we do not know. But God is always sovereign, and God is always doing multiple things in our lives at different times. God already told Paul that he must go to Rome. He must be a witness at Rome for the Lord. But along the way, God has a detour come up so that God's will be accomplished in the lives of other people. And Paul will be used in a very great way on the island of Melita. And again, just as the songwriter writes, "I'm so glad I learned to trust him." And I'm sure that Paul was glad he learned to trust the Lord. Though he could not trust the shipmasters that went off into the Mediterranean Sea during the time of storms. And Paul, if you were to read back a couple of chapters, Paul even warned them that he perceived the voyage would be with much hurt just because of the time of year it was, and yet nobody would listen to him. But Paul was reminded by the angel of God while on this boat that no lives would be lost. The Lord was watching over Paul and taking care of him. And there's just times in our life where we have to learn to shake off some things that could hinder us from moving forward with the Lord, could hinder us from trusting the Lord, could get our attention off of the Lord and cause us to become disillusioned in believing that God has forsaken us in some way. And in our account tonight with Paul, we just learned that through the power of God that we can shake off, just as Paul does, the challenges that are allowed in our life. And God is the one that does allow different challenges in our life. It's always for our good and for his glory, and Romans 8:28 reminds us of that. Well, a couple things I want us to see in these verses tonight. When you look in verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness," meaning they were very hospitable to Paul and to the others, "for they kindled a fire and received everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold." Again, even when we're stranded in life, we can trust the Lord and know the Lord will take care of us. And in Paul's situation, there are these, they're called barbarous people. Now, whether or not that they were tribal people, whether or not, you know, they were, unlearned and ignorant people, we don't know. But according to the Romans and the Gentiles, anybody that wasn't like them, they considered barbarous. They considered, you know, not to be like them, not to be educated and of society. It's an island, Melita. But again, these people showed no little kindness. So they knew hospitality. They knew how to show hospitality. They knew how to show kindness to people. They knew how to be hospitable to people that were strangers, and they were willing to take them in. They were willing to help them as they obviously swam to shore during the rainy season. They kindled a fire for them. They kind of helped to get them comfortable and kind of met their needs as they were there. And obviously Paul goes on to, you know, help stroke that fire, to get that fire even raging more so it could be a blessing to everybody there. But again, even though we're maybe stranded at different times, they're stranded on this island. Again, to be stranded in life is really not to know what direction to go, not to know when help is coming, not to know what's going to happen, how long you're going to be in a certain place. Paul is stranded here. The ship has been broken apart. They have no idea what's on the island. They don't know if any other ships are going to come, all right? But Paul has learned to trust the Lord even when he doesn't understand what may be going on. But I think Paul, being someone who's very sensitive to the Spirit of God, and obviously God even telling Paul that he had to land on a certain island, Paul knows he's there for a reason. It hasn't been shown yet, but Paul makes use of his time by being a servant. Now, he is a political prisoner, but he has the freedom to do what he wants to do, all right? And he chooses to serve. He chooses to be a blessing to other people. Now, when we look at the rest of this in verse 3, obviously Paul ends up being wounded by a venomous snake. And just at times, we just have to learn that we can trust the Lord and we can shake off the wounds that we will receive at different times. Again, going into a new year, we don't know the hurts that will come our way by people or different things, but we know that God always does right. God will never do us wrong. I want you to think, though, about just being able to shake off adversities in life. Because again, as we think about these verses that we read, we think about Paul. Paul's just trying to serve the Lord. Paul is just trying to live his life for the Lord. And it just seems like as he's trying to serve, bad things are happening. But yet he still chooses to do what's right. He still chooses to allow the grace of God to work in his life. He still chooses to be an example of the believer. And even though he's falsely accused in verses 4 through 6, the barbarous The barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand. They said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. There's just times in life where someone may falsely brand you based on something they see. Again, Paul, you know, in this case, in this point in his life, he's not a murderer. These people showed kindness towards Paul and the others, trying to be a help to them. Yet when they see this poisonous snake attached to Paul's hand, automatically they come to the conclusion, you know what? This is divine judgment. Though he has escaped the storm of the sea, yet vengeance has found its mark. Vengeance has found its target. And they just assume that Paul must have done something wrong to receive this venomous snake bite in his life at this point. But then you read on and they keep watching. And it's a reminder to us, you know what? Things do happen in life and people are watching. If they know that you're a Christian, they're going to watch to see how we respond to injustices in our life. They're going to watch to see how we respond with our words, with our actions, to things that happen in our life. And they will, at different times, people will falsely accuse, whether they say it directly to you or they're thinking it to themselves or telling somebody else, there will be people that will falsely say things that are not true based on what they're seeing, but we should never, ever really give them what they want. The devil wants us to lose our testimony and ruin our testimony. When you look at Paul just in verse 5, he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. He shook it off and he kept right on serving. And they watched, because later on, when Paul finds out that the father of Publius is sick with a fever and a bloody flukes, Paul goes in and heals him. And he's not stopped. He's not stopped because he has a testimony already. Now, they again falsely assume he's a god because he didn't die of the venomous snake. And these islanders, these barbarians, as they're called in Scripture, they know that the snake that attached itself to Paul's hand is a venomous snake, and that's why they watch, waiting for his hand to swell up, waiting for him to fall over dead. And when that didn't happen, then their mind was changed against Paul, and no longer is he a murderer in their eyes. Now he is a god because he has overcome the venom of the serpent. Aren't you glad tonight that you have overcome the venom of the serpent through the Lord Jesus Christ? Sin no longer can take you into hell. Sin, your sin, my sin has been paid for. The devil no longer has a grip on us. The devil has been shaken off, not by our power or our might, but by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But a few things I want us to think about tonight as we go in again this new year. We're going to be faced with adversities at different times, and how do we respond to those adversities? And I believe that Paul gives us a great example that when we're faced with adversities in life, we are to just shake it off, not allow it to attach itself to us, not allow the venom to corrupt us and to cause our hearts in any way to be affected against what is right, against God. Do not give place to the devil. Do not allow the devil to have any ground in our life through any adversity that we may come face to face with. And again, I remind us, as somebody once said, through the power of God, we can shake off the challenges that are allowed in our life. Again, God allows adversity in our life for a reason, and we can trust him for it. Paul was trusting the Lord just as the songwriter had learned to trust him, and we've learned to trust the Lord, but there's times in our life where we have to go back and learn again to trust the Lord and keep trusting the Lord and keep reminding ourselves that there's a reason for this. There's a reason for this adversity. There's a reason for the storm in my life. There's a reason that the Lord has allowed me to get off course to a certain place that he wants to do something great with us and wants to use us in a great way. The first thing that we have to do and learn to be able to shake off adversities that come in our life is, number one, it's always trusting God's word. It's always trusting what God says. Look at Proverbs 37. Go back to Proverbs 37 without reading it. In Acts, Paul is told by an angel of the Lord, because he testifies to the men after the fact, that an angel of the Lord stood by him that night, telling him that he wasn't going to die, nobody else was going to die, only the ship would be lost, but all life would be spared. And I think God would be a liar if Paul got to the island of Melita and died by a venomous snake bite, because God said no lives would be lost. So why would God allow Paul to survive a shipwreck but then die on the shores of this island by a venomous snake? All right? So again, God used it to get the attention of the islanders, to get the attention of these men, so that God can do a great work in their heart. And that is what God wants to do through our life, is get the attention of other people so other people can see the power of God in our life. Again, different times people will have different opinions. Sometimes they're good opinions, sometimes they're not. But God's the one that moves in the hearts of people. Why I said Proverbs 37, I have no idea. If you can find Proverbs 37, please help the rest of us find Proverbs 37. I believe it's 27. No, you know what? No, it's not. It's Psalm 37. I don't know why I wrote Proverbs. It's Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37 in verse number 5. The Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Again, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know what? Paul had committed his life to the Lord. He was trusting in the Lord, and what God had told him, God did bring it to pass. Again, though Paul survived the storm, he survived the shipwreck, he swam to shore, he's on shore, and yet he's faced with an adversity, he's faced with a snake bite, yet he shakes it off. He doesn't allow it to affect him because his focus is on serving other people. His focus is on the truth that God said, you must go to Rome. Now, it would be wonderful if God could tell me that, you know what, you're not going to die until this happens. Because Paul knew that he was at least going to go to Rome, and God said, you know, you're going to testify in Rome. So you know what, along the way, no matter what adversity he would face, he had the sure word of God that, you know what, doesn't matter. God said, I'm going to Rome, and God's not a man that he should lie. The devil cannot keep God from accomplishing God's will. God always accomplishes his will in the lives of people. He always accomplishes what he wants to do. And we have to keep trusting what God has said. Again, sometimes I think, you know, if God would just plainly tell me, then you know what? Then I would have more faith. But honestly, no, because if God said, okay, you're going to live, you're at least going to get to this point because I want you to do this. You know what would happen along the way? We would think about, okay, God said that he's at least going to get me there. But what happens after that? We would start to think about that. And we would be tempted to change our course, thinking that, you know what, it will save us from whatever's going to happen after that. Again, Paul, knowing that he was going to go to Rome, and God told him that you were going to go to Rome, it did help Paul. I believe it helped Paul just to have a right focus. Again, That's where faith comes in. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Trusting that, you know what God said, what God's told me, you know what, there is an appointed time. I have an appointment with death at some point. I have an appointment to walk through death's door. If the Lord tarries and I am not physically alive for the rapture, but if I pass on before the rapture, I'll be one of the first ones caught up in the air, according to the scriptures, according to God's word. But you know what? What has God said that we can count on? And we already know it, that God promised he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Again, Paul knows that he can trust what God told him. And God said that, you know, you have to land on this island. You have to land on this island. I've got something for you to do. Look at Psalm 115. Again, God's word is still the number one thing that is attacked right next to prayer. From the very beginning, you look in the book of Genesis, the beginning of time, with the first man and woman, God's word was attacked. The truth of God's word was attacked. And it continues to be attacked in the lives of God's people. But we have to learn, as the songwriter said, learn to trust him. And how do we trust him? By trusting his word. Psalm 115, look at verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, for he's their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The word of God says that God is our help and he is our shield. Look at Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Nobody likes adversity. Nobody likes for people to be against them. Everybody truly likes for everybody to be able to get along with them and not have any enemies. We try our best to fulfill scripture that tells us to live peaceably with all men as much as lieth within us. We try our best, but there are those that will end up being will be used as adversity in our life, those that will be used as an adversary against us, situations, people. But again, not giving place to the devil, but always giving place to the Lord, always following the Lord, always trusting the Lord, always shielding ourselves with the word of God. Psalm 146, verses 3 through 5. As Bob says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. God plainly tells us there's no help in man for us. Our help, man will fail us time and time again. Verse 4, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. How true that is. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. Now, scripture doesn't say it, but I wonder, was Paul whistling when he was gathering wood? Was he even whistling after he was snake bitten and he shook off the venomous snake into the fire, just whistling and having a good time with the Lord? Because they were watching. They were watching Paul. And again, many will watch our reactions. They'll watch how we respond. And again, when we're trusting in the Lord, we can't help but to be happy in the Lord. I've met so many people in my life where it just, every time you see them, every time I'd see this certain person, he was always smiling. Always smiling, always just joyful and just a joy to be around. Just always smiling, even when there were some hard times going on in his life. Because, why? Why can we be happy in the Lord? Because we have learned to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, according to Proverbs 3. So, how do we shake off adversity? First, we always trust God's word. We always let God's word be our help, be our shield, be our encouragement. and we learn to press on. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Paul did just that. He pressed on. I'm sure, again, sometimes you have to kind of stop and think about what is being said in Scripture. Sometimes we might think, you know, okay, Paul got bit by a poisonous snake, he shook it off, and we're not thinking, you know what? He got bit. So guess what? There are some fang marks. There's some blood coming out of his hand. Because it's not that the fangs did not, you know, sink into his hand. There might have been some pain with it. I'm sure there was some pain with it. But he didn't die. God kept him from dying. God kept the venom from coursing through his veins and killing him. But I'm sure that he still had blood coming from his hand. Now, his hand didn't swell up because obviously the Bible says, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen. All right. So it's not like it was mistaken. It's not like these barbarians mistook what happened. They saw the viper attached to his hand. They saw him shake it off. I'm sure they saw the blood dripping from his hand. But what should have happened after that didn't happen. Now, Paul, though, shaking off the adversity, just trusting what God told him. And we can trust what God tells us. And at times we have to keep pressing forward, keep pressing on when faced with adversity. Paul just shook it off and he kept just going about what he was doing. In Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 13 and 14. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind," and that's important. Forgetting the adversities that are behind us. Forgetting about not just the hardships and trials that God brings us to and brings us through, but you know, forgetting about those that may be against you. Forgetting about situations that it seemed like it stretched your faith, you were to the breaking point, but God brought you through it. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He always wants to bring up our failures. He always wants to bring up our faults. And yet the Lord is always telling us, keep your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. Keep moving forward. Forget those things which are behind. Lay aside the weights and sin which doth so easily beset you. Brethren, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we should. We should always be pressing toward that mark, pressing toward a closer relationship with the Lord, pressing towards trusting the Lord more, confiding more in the word of God instead of man's opinion and man's advice, but always pressing towards trusting the word of God and pressing forward in our life and not allowing anything to keep us from walking with the Lord, not allowing anything to get us off track and to stop trusting the Lord or stop having confidence in the Lord. Look at what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy. Because again, Paul is not some super Christian. He's not immortal. He's a mortal man. He's someone who put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, whose life was changed. But he's a man who was determined to faithfully follow his Savior. He had a heart like Daniel, and he purposed not to defile himself with the things of this world, and that includes the wrong emotions or the wrong reactions. He chose to shake off the serpent and not to complain about it, but to keep moving on. The worst thing that we can do is complain about the adversity that we face in life. Now, the best thing to do is to pray about it and give it to the Lord. The worst thing is to complain about it and keep talking about it and keep complaining about it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 7 and 8. 2 Timothy, my tongue's getting tied. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul, as he writes to Timothy, says, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul wanted Timothy to keep the right focus. Paul is about to pass off the scene. Timothy will never get another letter from his mentor. He'll never get another letter of encouragement from Paul. But Paul wanted to leave an impression upon Timothy's heart that Paul truly is not the one he should be looking to, but his Savior. He should be looking to the Lord. He should look to the Lord for his encouragement, because when we look to Christ, now, yes, we are to encourage one another, and that is a good thing. But when other people are not around, when there's not someone there to encourage you, we have to do like David did and encourage ourselves in the Lord and praise the Lord that we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us to do that, to help us to keep a right focus, to help us to shake off the adversity so we don't allow the effects of the adversity to take hold on us. We have to remind ourselves, you know what? There's somebody that's far greater than any person in this world that I want to bring glory to, and I want to please with my life that he's given me. And I want to run my race well, and I want to fight a good fight of faith, and that is for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that helps us to be able to keep moving forward. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Paul was always trying to encourage other people in the Lord, and he always would even use the adversities in his life to encourage somebody else. He never allowed himself to complain about the things in his life that were not right. He said that he was the chiefest of sinners, not worthy to be an apostle. But he knew that by the grace of God, God had made him the apostle to the Gentiles. God had used him in a great way. Paul knew he wasn't worthy, but Paul was relying upon the guidance of God and relying upon the grace of God, and he wasn't going to allow a snake bite to keep him from moving forward with the Lord. In 1 John chapter 5, you look at verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Our faith overcomes the adversities that we face in this world and in our lifetime. Paul was able to shake off that venomous beast, and he was able not to feel any harm. He was able to keep pressing on and to be used greatly of the Lord. And guess what? Again, we only have a little bit of window that we can look into Paul's life on the island of Melita. He's there for 3 months. We know that he helped Publius's father. We know that he healed many others as well. As scripture says, others came to him that were sick in verse number 9. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. So Paul was able to do a great work while he was there for 3 months. Now what if Paul had not had such a great attitude coming out of the sea, coming out of the Mediterranean Sea, soaking wet? What if he came just grumbling, sitting down, not even having a Christ-like spirit? Well, he wouldn't have been able to help anybody because his focus would have been on himself instead of, okay, what does God want me to do? God sent me here. God said that I had to come here. So I'm not quite sure why. So I'm just going to be busy serving until it's revealed why I'm truly here. And obviously it gets revealed that there's someone that needs to be healed. There's others that need to be healed. And through the healing process, he's obviously able to preach Jesus Christ to them. So you think about it, it's about serving others. Our focus always needs to be on serving others, even when we don't feel like it. Again, we really do have to, and I'm sure you do, when you're reading the Bible and you're reading different accounts, stopping and thinking about what's happening and what's going on, not glossing over the scriptures and quickly reading, but thinking about what's going on. Paul is soaking wet. It is raining. A fire has been kindled by these islanders, by these barbarians. They kindled a fire. They're showing kindness to them. I don't know if you've ever been soaking wet and it's raining on you. You don't necessarily feel like continuing to work in the rain. I remember one time with the boys and I, when they were a lot younger, we took a canoe trip with two other fathers and their sons in Wisconsin. It was a 3-day canoe trip. Everything was great. I got sick. I think it was on day one I got sick. But after that, I was fine. Just everything was going great. We had a great time. And the last day, rainstorm comes. We get out. We go up in the woods to try to stay dry. But then we get down to certain rapids, and the father and his son in front of us, they capsize. They hit the rapids sideways. It totally flips them out. The son loses all his fishing tackle. They're soaking wet. And all of us, I mean, we all were wet from the rain. They're soaking wet because they fell in the river, and we just... all we wanted to do was just get to the van and get dry clothes. Because none of us had a change of clothes. We left the change of clothes in the van, so the last day we would all drive home in clean clothes. And that's all everybody wanted. Just let's get to the van. Let's get on some dry clothes. And I remember myself, when I finally got into the restroom and was able to change, I felt so good just having on dry clothes. Can you imagine that Paul, it's raining, he's already soaking wet from being in the sea. Now he's got a venomous serpent who has latched upon his hand. He shakes it off. I don't know what Paul was thinking. I don't know what I would be thinking. Lord, why is this happening? I know that you said that the ship would be lost. I know you said we'd have to swim to shore. But Lord, I mean, I'm soaking wet. It's raining. Now I get snake bite. I mean, Lord, I'm just trying to live my life for you. Again, like somebody once said, through the power of God, we can shake off the challenges that are allowed in our life. God allows challenges in our life so that we can see just how strong the Lord is, how faithful he is, and how much we can trust him. But there is something about being focused on serving other people instead of focused on your adversities in life or your challenges in life. Jesus said it was more blessed to give than to receive. There's just something about being focused on other people and trying to serve other people. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35. It is re-said what Jesus says. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's true. It's not just material things, but of your time, your encouragement, being able to help somebody else. That's exactly what Paul was doing. How could Paul keep his focus on Christ when he's soaking wet, it's raining, he's snake bitten, he's on an island, he's not quite sure why he's there. He knows he's there because God said he would be there. Doesn't know how long he's going to be there. Doesn't know when another ship is going to come to help them. Yet, because his focus was on Christ, he was able to keep serving other people, because that is serving Christ when we serve other people. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. While it says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We're to do it for the Lord and not for ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Paul was all about edifying other people. He was all about edifying Titus and edifying Timothy, edifying his traveling companions, whether it was Luke, whether it was Silas. He was all about edifying other people, and no doubt he wanted to edify the lost into trusting his Savior and trusting his God. Now look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Paul says here, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So again, how can we keep pressing forward? By serving other people. We want to serve other people. We want to keep our focus on the Lord and not allow the adversities that we face in life to keep us down or even to beat us down. Don't give place to the devil. Keep your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith and let the Lord protect you. Look at Psalm 118. Paul was trusting the Lord. Again, he didn't know how long he would be there. Wasn't quite sure what the purpose was being there, though Paul was a soul winner, and everywhere he went, Paul would preach Jesus Christ to people and share his testimony to those. But Paul knew the Lord was going to protect him because God had already said, you must go to Rome. God already said no life was going to be lost. And you and I can trust that the Lord will protect us even when faced with adversities. Psalm 118, verses 6 through 9. The psalmist says, the Lord is on my side. I mean, just stop it. Aren't you glad the Lord's on your side? Because as a child of God, the Lord's on your side. I'm on the side of my children. Why? Because they're my children. And the Lord is on our side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The psalmist makes a wonderful statement and a true statement. What can man do unto me? Absolutely nothing that God does not allow. Again, no one can do anything to you. The devil can't do whatever he wants. We learn that in the life of Job. The devil has to have permission, and he can only do what God allows him to do. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. We can, when you think about that, putting trust in the Lord instead of confidence in man or confidence in princes, in all areas of our life, we need to learn to trust the Lord fully, especially when it comes to finances. People have a hard time trusting God with their finances, and they want to trust the banks, loan officers, more than trusting God's way. And God's already told us in his word how to be blessed financially, and that is to honor the Lord first with our substance, glorifying him and worshiping him with what he's given us, not putting our confidence and trust in man or princes. Why? Because the Lord is on my side. That means the Lord has my best interest in mind, because the Bible says that he has thoughts of peace towards me to give me an expected end. The Lord thinks highly of his children, and he wants us to trust him and to have confidence in him and letting the Lord protect you. Psalm 28, verse 7, the Bible says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Again, I have learned to trust the Lord over the years. I've learned that if I forget to lock the front door of my house, God will protect us. Now, there's been so many times where the front door has forgotten to be locked. Waking up in the morning, looking at the door and thinking, well, praise the Lord, no one came walking through that door because it was left unlocked. There's been times where The garage has been left wide open and the garage door unlocked, and yet God kept a hedge of protection. Now, it doesn't mean take advantage of it and just continue to keep the doors unlocked, but it always reminded me that, you know what? There's nothing to fear, that God's watching over us even when we're sleeping, even when we're unaware of what's going on around us. God has a hedge of protection around us, and God is watching over us every step of the way. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. God wants us to recognize that his protection is good for us. Paul was being protected, even though Paul was probably not where he wanted to be, yet he knew he was in the center of God's will. The greatest place to be is in the center of God's will, even if that means you're on an island with a snake bite. If that's where God wants you to be, and that's where God wanted Paul to be, then that's the safest place to be. The safest place to be in your life is in the center of God's will, letting God guide you and use you for your good and his glory. Last thing I want us to think about, remember, God is in control. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Remember, God's always in control, and we need to let him be in control of our life. Let him be in control of our footsteps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Bible reminds us, though we fall, we will not be utterly cast down. You know, we trip at times in our life and we fall because of different reasons, decisions that we've made that were maybe contrary to the will of God. Yet the Lord's always there to help us. He's always there when we cry out to him to help us, to pick us up, and to help us to go in the right direction. But always remember, God is in control. God was in control of that storm that was raging on the Mediterranean Sea. The shipmaster and his sailors could not do anything to get them to shore. Even the disciples could not. Those experienced fishermen could not get to shore when they were on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of two storms. Yet when Jesus Christ was with them, Jesus caused a great calm to come on the waters, and the winds and the waves, they ceased. But God used the great storm on the Mediterranean Sea to get Paul where God wanted him to be. Sometimes God will use storms in our life to get us to where he wants us to be. And more often than not, the storms that he allows in our life is to help drive us to our knees, to help drive us to our knees in prayer, help lead us and draw us back to the Lord. Again, when I think about Peter walking on water and then sinking, that'd be a great experience to be able to walk on water because Jesus told you to come. And yet Peter started sinking because he got his eyes off of Christ. The winds and the waves, they had not stopped. The boisterous storm had not stopped. Yet when he started sinking, I believe that the Lord was trying to show Peter, yes, you've walked on water, but you still need me. Because you know what? When we're able to do something on our own, we have the temptation to not rely upon God as much. That's why Jesus said it was hard for a rich person to enter into heaven. Not because they can't be saved, but because it's hard for them to rely on God instead of their wealth. And Jesus gives the account because there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to enter into heaven? And Jesus gave him some things. He said, well, I've done that. I've kept all these things. I've kept all the law since my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said, go sell everything you have. Take up your cross and follow me. And the Bible says that he walked away sad because he had much wealth. That's why God allows adversities in our life. It's not to destroy us as the Israelites thought when they were 3 days in the wilderness and they complained that God had brought them out there to kill them. No, God brought them out of Egypt, but then God needed to get Egypt out of their hearts. And God knows what he needs to get out of our hearts, because he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of Christ. So God knows what he needs to do in each of our lives to help us to be conformed more into the image of Christ. And unfortunately, sometimes that does take adversities in our life. Sometimes it takes storms in our life, but we're not to fear the adversities. We're not to fear the storms. We're to trust the Lord and trust that that we're in the center of his will, and that he will accomplish his will in our life, because God is in control. We're trusting him. We've learned to trust him. We've learned to follow him. We've learned to rely upon him. And as Paul wants to encourage the believers at Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." Don't allow yourself to become, fatigued. Don't allow yourself to become exhausted in doing what's right and following the Lord, because it seems like you're just in one storm after the other. The Bible says, "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Again, God's all about strengthening our faith. He's all about working in our lives. And he wants us to learn how to shake things off and not allow the devil's grip. Really, the devil has no grip. He has no grip on the child of God. He lost that grip at Calvary. But what the devil wants to do is get into the minds of people and cause them to think he's still in control. And he's not. You're a child of God tonight. He's not in control. God is in control. And we don't want to give place to the devil. We don't want to give the devil any glory, because all glory is due to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we do want to be reminded that, you know what? Let's be like Daniel. Let's purpose in our hearts to serve the Lord. Let's purpose in our hearts to walk with God. But then let's do like Paul did, and let's shake off the adversities that, you know what, have happened in this past year. Let's be prepared to shake off the adversities that will happen in this next year, because it's just life. Things happen. But hopefully it doesn't happen because we chose it. Hopefully the adversities that we face isn't because we made that decision, that we chose to go against the teachings of God. We chose to go against the leading of God. Again, when you look in Paul's life, from the moment he got saved on the road to Damascus, he continued to follow God's will for his life. Again, when you look at Paul's life, I mean, he a man of prayer. He is a faithful man to follow the Lord, yet he still faced adversities. Yet he never gave up on God. And that's why he was able at the end to say, "I finished my course." You know what? Honest, for me, that's all I want to do. I want to finish my course faithfully. I don't want to be a casualty that decides along the way, I've gotten weary, I fainted, and therefore I don't want to follow the Lord anymore down this path, because it's too much for me. The ups and the downs. How many of us have learned that, you know what? Life has ups and downs. And it will not stop until we get to heaven, where there are no more ups and downs. It's just basically smooth sailing in heaven, because everything's perfect. No more sin, no more struggles, no more adversities, no more adversary. But again, God's given us a great opportunity with our life for us to learn how to trust him, to learn how not to allow things in this life to affect us, but to allow the Lord to affect us, allow the Word of God to affect us, and allow God to have his way with us. Again, be prepared to shake off the things that can latch onto your heart and cause you to falter and to fall away from the Lord in trusting him and following him.